Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told the Senate Banking Committee that with elevated inflation and the solid job market, cuts to the interest rate are not imminent.
With our policy stance now significantly less restrictive than it had been, and the economy remaining strong, we do not need to be in a hurry to adjust our policy stance.
He also said that no other federal regulator is doing the job of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as the Trump administration works to shut down the watchdog agency. The president today meets with the King of Jordan one day after threatening to halt aid if Jordan did not go along with its plans to rebuild Gaza. Steve Bannon, a conservative strategist and confidant of the president, pleaded guilty to a fraud charge relating to duping New York donors who gave money to a private border wall fundraiser. He will not serve jail time. Author Salman Rushdie on the witness stand testifying against the man charged with stabbing him in 2022. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has co-authored a bill to help Wisconsin dairy farmers. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee have introduced the Dairy Business Innovation Act. It's designed to strengthen initiatives and help more producers and processors add value to their businesses. Baldwin says dairy producers in Wisconsin and across the country are facing challenges.
Throughout my time in Congress, I've worked hard to help them meet the challenges that they face. And look, right now, they face some pretty steep challenges. I hear from folks about how increased input costs are stretching their thin budgets and how lack of market access and workforce issues are all impacting folks' bottom line.
Baldwin says the dairy business initiatives have already helped hundreds of producers and processors improve.
To date, more than 250 farmers and processors in the Midwest have benefited from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. One of my favorite parts of being a United States Senator is seeing how these small grants can help our dairy farmers take their businesses to new heights.
The new legislation would increase the program's annual funding from $20 million to $36 million. A companion to the bipartisan bill has been introduced in the House as well. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
It's uncertain what impact the federal freezes on spending would have on the proposed initiative. A winter storm system is set to affect the southern half of the state tomorrow. Here in La Crosse, we're expected to get a couple of inches of snow with greater impacts to our south and east. Temperatures for the next few nights will drop to around zero with wind chills in the negative teens. Another shot at snow is expected Friday night into Saturday. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Bucks bow to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Stephon Curry led Golden State with 38 points, the most he's had all season. Jimmy Butler had 20 and 9 rebounds in his second game for the Warriors since being traded from the Heat. Damian Lillard also had 38 points in the loss.
I thought we didn't execute well enough out of that, you know, the screening, slipping, getting the guys involved that we wanted to get involved. We didn't do it consistent enough. And then, you know, it was still a close game. Loose balls, they got to them. You know, we allowed them to get off threes. You know, they got a lot of shooters, and I thought they separated themselves getting threes off, second opportunities. And then, obviously, the turnovers. You know, I felt like I had more turnovers than I ever had in a game today. So, you're not going to win a game not valuing every possession against a team that's shooting the ball like that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and kind of cold today. We'll get to around 10 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the north at 5, and that'll keep the wind chill hovering either side of zero here for most of the day. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 3 above. Tomorrow, some snow, maybe an inch, with a high near 15. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 4 above.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former police officer and podcaster Mark Motorson, who will discuss a fun true crime event at the Appleton Historical Society. And our pal film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same if you call and or text. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, February 11th. The average price of a gallon of milk, 2% in Wisconsin, $3.18. That is the same as yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $5.41. That is up a penny from yesterday. Up quite a bit from last week, though. Mm-hmm. We do have snow on the way. We're going to just give you a little heads up about that. We have a lot of things coming up on the show today. Todd Alba, our friend and colleague and host of the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 across the Civic Media Network, will be joining us after the 10:30 news. Republicans in Wisconsin now out with a way to help taxpayers, Greg. Whew. Isn't that nice?
Good for us.
That's so, so nice. And some news about if you want to have a solar project.
Yep.
Like on your farm. Yeah, they're going to make that so much easier for you, too. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to learn about the mobile market, which is kind of the under the umbrella of the Hunger Task Force. Matt King is going to join us. There are food deserts in Milwaukee where it's tough for folks to get access to decent food without going to the gas station. And yeah. So the mobile market sets up in different areas around the city every week. And we're going to learn about the mobile market, who can take advantage of it, where it's going to be, all those things after the 11 o'clock news. Speaking of news, Doobie Brothers coming back to Milwaukee. Pat Kreitlow, when he gets back from vacation, going to be very excited about
maybe
this.
Maybe we'll have to do a Doobie Brothers, like a segment about the Doobie Brothers. So the company springs for Doobie Brothers tickets.
I like that.
We do an interview about longevity, artistic merit, and brotherhood.
I like that a lot. So at 11:30, we're going to talk about the Doobie Brothers coming back to town. Tickets go on sale on Friday, I believe. And what concert do you regret missing?
Yes.
And we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. Stay tuned for that. Always, you can send us your tisbets, as we mm-hmm. like to call them. If you have one, send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Use that same email address if you have a topic you think we should cover on the show, mm-hmm. maybe a guest who you think would be great, yeah. some nonprofit in your community, no matter where it is across the state. Let us know. All the hate mail to send it in. Calvin reads it. No, I read all of it. Send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. As we mentioned, though, yep, 5 to 9 inches of snow, my friends. Possible on Wednesday with another significant storm for the weekend. This from Claire Reed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Up to 9 inches of snow expected to hit Milwaukee tomorrow, followed by more snow over the weekend. National Weather Service says the city itself could see an additional 3 to 6 inches of snow Friday into Saturday. That's still kind of up in the air. this is all changeable, obviously.
Yeah.
If the weather pushes it, you know, the pressure, high, low pressure systems push it one way or another. So it's still in flux. But we do have a winter weather advisory, I believe.
Okay.
For most of Wisconsin. So be aware of that. 511WI.gov.
That's right.
That's what you want to check tomorrow before you head out the door, or also probably more so as you're heading home from work tomorrow, because it's supposed to start about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and then go all through into the evening. So your drive home tomorrow after work might be a little bit hairy. Yeah. So before you head out the door, check 511WI.gov, and that will show you every accident all across the state. In a lot of instances, you can actually check the traffic cams, so you can see conditions on the ground. So just, yeah, use it. It's great. You can download it as an app.
Yes, you can. You can put it right there on your phone for free. And we also just say, hey, folks, no matter what you're driving, whether it's a tiny, tiny car or a big old truck with all-wheel, four-wheel drive, just drive safely, drive defensively, and be aware of other people on the road.
Please. And no matter what you drive and how good you drive, the laws of physics still apply to you. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Okay, I wanted to start off with this because the state Supreme Court election, very close.
Yes.
April 1st. The primary, by the way, is a week from today. The primary is for the state school superintendent. Yes. That is the one race that will be on all the ballots next Tuesday. It's really important that you cast your vote.
Yes.
This will narrow it down to two who will then go on to the general on April 1st. There are two Democrats running, one Republican who's a big advocate of school choice. If you need to find out more, just Google it or go to myvote.wi.gov.
Yes.
That's also a great way to check it out. But the Supreme Court race, there's a lot hanging in the balance when we go to the polls on April 1st, including whether or not we want to keep the fairer maps that we finally have. But I think it's important to remind folks that Brad Schimmel, who was once Wisconsin Attorney General and is now running against Susan Crawford for a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he believes that the January 6th traitors, that's what we call them, not heroes, not patriots.
Nope. Not hostages.
No, he believes that they were treated unfairly.
Oh, of course they were.
Brad Schimmel, Attorney General. Top cop in Wisconsin.
Yep. Guy who wants the job wearing a robe for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin.
With a 10-year term.
Yes.
Now, Donald Trump was asked about this. President Trump was asked about this on Sunday. On board Air Force One, he claims that the people he pardoned, and don't forget they pardoned all of them, a blanket pardon for all of them.
Yeah.
Of course, a week before the election, I believe J.D. Vance said that they were going to go over this on a case-by-case basis.
Correct.
Because there were some people who acted very violently.
Yes.
On January 6th. That all went away because the Trump administration said it was too onerous to go case-by-case. 1,500 cases, too much work.
Yeah.
Too much darn work, so they just pardoned everybody. Here's what Donald Trump said on Sunday, quote, I pardoned people who were assaulted themselves. They were assaulted by our government. That's who were assaulted, and they were treated unfairly. This is President Trump speaking about the January 6th traitors. There's never been a group of people in this country outside of maybe one instance I can think of, but I won't get into it, talking about himself, that were treated more horribly than the people of January 6th. So no, I didn't assault. They didn't assault. They were assaulted. And what I did was a great thing for humanity. Trump said free hundreds of his followers who'd been convicted of attacking the Capitol in an effort to overturn the election and keep him in office, an office that he lost. He's still whining about the 2020 election. He was on Fox with Bret Baier before the Super Bowl on Sunday. He is still whining. So all these very fine people who were assaulted by the government, even though we saw video footage, I saw lots of video footage of these people beating Capitol Police officers with flagpoles and riot shields
and nightsticks
and spraying bear spray in their face. But they were assaulted by the government. These are the same people that Brad Schimmel, who wants to be the next Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin, these are the same people that Brad Schimmel is defending.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Speaking on right-wing radio, Brad Schimmel said that Democrats abused the court system for political gain while going against the January 6th attackers. Another piece of the lawfare manipulation is that they utilize jurisdictions that are overwhelmingly to the left in terms of voters, which means the jurors that you're going to draw to hear these cases, there's no way any jury is going to rule anything other than he's guilty of whatever you can give him, whatever charge you give them. The same thing for these January 6th defendants who are all prosecuted in Washington, which is overwhelmingly liberal. This part of the manipulation is to go to districts like that. They would never take you. They would never take their prosecution in a district where you had a fair shot as a defendant.
So just so I get this straight, Jane.
Yes.
Brad Schimmel, who is running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
Believes that the J6 traitors should have gotten a change of venue to a more fair, friendly district. So that's not how justice works. I mean, I know there have been
cases that have been moved to different jurisdictions.
I understand that. There have been, and that is when they find overwhelmingly when they cannot, a fair trial cannot be had. But these were people who assaulted police officers. Police officers died. Yes, they died. They didn't die in the day, but they died afterwards as a result of their injuries on January 6th. Don't at me on that information. These are individuals who are treasonous in my eyes, but they weren't given a fair shot by Brad Schimmel. But they were given, in the eyes of Brad Schimmel, they were not given a fair shot. That's just how it is.
Well, and again, this is who we have to choose between when we go to the polls on April 1st, Susan Crawford or Brad Schimmel siding on the side of the people who attacked Capitol police officers. 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cam. Thank you for joining us. We don't have a whole lot of time, but go ahead, please.
That's okay. Trump's complaining about the 2020 election still because it's mounting pressure right now that it's starting to look like he cheated in that election and he cheated in the 2024 election. And this is going off of data from Greg Tallis. And he retracted a statement yesterday where before he said that it was a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory to say that he had cheated the election. But now he's saying, well, no, I don't think that it was a tinfoil hat conspiracy, but I don't know enough factual information to say that they had hacked the machines. And so I was reading a report that was 96 pages long last night on something related to how the machines work, that it was a report written up by the government. And man, these things are so easy to break into. My background is computer science, and it's blowing my mind.
Well, and now that he's got all these young hackers working for Doge, who knows what's going on? Thank you, Cam. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to give you a little update on some of the very fine people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. You might be surprised. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, friend and colleague Todd Alba will be joining us. Wisconsin Republicans, they want to help, Greg. They want to help, folks.
Jane, Calvin, would you just listen to me? All they want to do is help. They want to make sure we're the happiest, healthiest, smartest people on earth. They're just here to help us.
We should be grateful.
I'm trying. Well,
we will tell you how they want to help us. Wisconsin taxpayers, that is. After the 10:30 news with Todd Alba. Right now, though, we are talking about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. You're going to be voting. Please vote. Be a voter.
Voting is sexy, yo.
It's cool, babe.
So sexy.
Absolutely vote on April 1st. Brad Schimmel running against Susan Crawford, and Brad Schimmel has come out on the side of the January 6th attackers of the U.S. Capitol, saying that they were treated unfairly.
The traitors?
The traitors were treated unfairly, and it's law. The lawfare is a big word that they're throwing around lately. Lawfare.
I hate that word so much.
Well, because he's taking the side of these people, I just think it's important that we look a little more closely at all the best people who attacked the Capitol on that day. Now, this one we already talked about. Matthew Huddle, who was pardoned by Trump, mm-hmm. was already shot and killed by law enforcement in Indiana during a traffic stop.
Yes.
He also had an extensive criminal history. He reportedly spanked his 3-year-old so hard he left bruises all over the child's back, neck, and the child had such extreme pain he couldn't sit properly for a week. He was sentenced to 2.5 years of imprisonment, also numerous arrests for drunk driving. Even after January 6th, he continued to rack up state charges in Indiana for driving offenses, but he was pardoned because he's one of all the best people. And then a week later, he was shot and killed during an altercation with a sheriff's deputy in Indiana.
Really quick question. Let me jump in here real quick. So every time a person, and I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to mean unarmed black man is killed by the police, there's always a group of people who say, well, why didn't he just comply with the officer? Why didn't he just do what the officer said? Why didn't he just follow the law? Well, I hope those same people have the same attitude towards this man who got shot and killed by a sheriff's deputy as they do with all these other people, because they should, because that's just called consistency of attitude. If not, then their whole thing overall is worthless to me. But if this guy got killed, it had to have been for a reason. I mean, he's got an arrest record a mile long.
So do several others.
Go for it.
Apparently, these are the guys that Brad Schimmel, who wants to be Wisconsin's next Supreme Court justice. He is on the side of these people and says that they were treated unfairly. Also among those who received pardons from President Trump, Theodore Mittendorf was accused by prosecutors in Illinois of predatory criminal sexual assault of a child. State records indicating his victim was 7 years old. He pled guilty in May of last year, was sentenced to 19 years in prison. He's currently registered as a sex offender and is in custody on those charges. But he was also charged with destruction of government property for bashing through a window on January 6th. He had been pardoned, but now he's back in jail on these earlier charges.
For pedophilia.
For pedophilia, yes. Child sex crimes.
Child sex crimes.
Peter Schwartz, another one who received a pardon from Donald Trump, has a jaw-dropping criminal history of 38 prior convictions dating back to 1991. On January 6th, Mr. Schwartz assaulted police officers with pepper spray. His list includes a 94 disorderly conduct case for throwing a lit cigarette at a victim, which hit her near her eyes, a 2004 case assault with a deadly weapon, a 2019 case terroristic threats for threatening police while under arrest for domestic assault, a 2020 case of assaulting his wife, including biting her on the forehead and punching her multiple times. He was given one of the toughest prison sentences stemming from his attack on the Capitol riot more than 14 years. Less than 4 years after his incarceration, he was freed, courtesy of Donald Trump. The list goes on. Of all the finest traitors, Daniel Mill, charged with production of child pornography, possession of child porn, including a minor and a child under 12 years old. All the best people, patriots, Greg, heroes, they have a song. They have a song that Donald Trump has played instead of the Star Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful. He played the song of these patriots at his rallies. These are the folks that Brad Schimmel thinks were treated unfairly.
I also want to remind folks that who might be sitting there in their chair or wherever saying, well, how could they let this happen? As J.D. Vance said, we're going to go over all these cases with a fine-tooth comb.
One by one.
But then Donald Trump felt like that was just too much.
His whole work.
Actually, I won't just blame him. His whole staff. Too much work. He said an expletive, and they just pardoned all of them. It's just easier to do that.
Yeah, blanket pardons.
It doesn't affect any of them. They've all got security. They're all far away from this. They're going to go back to their homes and terrorize the lives of those around them who their rap sheets show why they would be at a place on January 6th. These are people who, I'll say this, who probably need some help too. Probably need some therapy, need some real good digging deep in the soul and figuring out what's going on with them. That's why they were there. It probably had less to do with the government more than just belonging to a group of people who felt like, oh, are you angry, full of rage, and don't know what to do with it? Me too.
Join us. We will include this article in our show notes. It's from NPR. And get to know some of the very fine people that apparently Brad Schimmel feels were treated unfairly. Keep that in mind when you go to cast your ballot on April 1st. Who should be sitting on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court? News is coming up next when we return. The wonderful Todd Alba will be joining us. Stay close.
The great Todd Alba.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The La Crosse mayoral primary is coming up on Tuesday with four candidates running for mayor: Chris Kahlo, Vicky Markison, Ellie McLoon, and Shondell Washington Spivey. La Crosse City Council President Chris Kahlo is touting her experience in her bid for mayor.
Right now, La Crosse is at a crossroads. We have some real challenges. We also have some real opportunities ahead of us. So this is not the time for someone to do on-the-job training for role as mayor. We really need a mayor that can hit the ground running on day one. And my experience on city council, as a small business owner, and as someone deeply rooted and invested in my neighborhood and the community, I think make me uniquely qualified to lead the city as next mayor of La Crosse.
We'll preview each mayoral candidate as well as the school board primary this week. The spring primary is on Tuesday, February 18th. To see your voter registration status, where to vote, or what's on your ballot, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Several committees meet before the La Crosse City Council regular meeting on Thursday. Today, the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee will take up a discussion on electric scooters. The Municipal Transit Utility Board will review service agreements, and the Library Board will review staffing and review its weapons policy. Tomorrow, the City Housing Authority will review one of its projects and insurance policies, while the City Administrator Work Group will discuss public input into the proposed new position. There's a new representative on the La Crosse County Board. Christy Tweed was appointed to the 24th District seat that was held by Kevin Hoyer, who moved out of the district. The 24th District covers the eastern part of Holman, the town of Onalaska, and part of the town of Hamilton. Tweed had previously run for the seat in the last two elections. She'll serve out the remaining part of the current term until the seat is up for election again next fall. The county board also reviewed funding sources at last night's planning meeting. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. What better time to announce new concert dates than after a couple billion people saw your Super Bowl halftime performance? Kendrick Lamar is doing just that as he announced new dates of his grand national tour, where he will be joined by SZA, who also joined him for part of the show at Super Bowl 59. The tour starts in April and tickets go on sale as early as this coming weekend. One of the great things about being homesick is you get to catch up on TV to the point where you're sick of it. But the least I could do is pass along a recommendation or two. If you like a good thriller, check out Don't Move. The film is directed by Sam Raimi and is about a girl who faces becoming completely incapacitated after being drugged as she tries to escape a predator in the woods. The film is only an hour and a half long and constantly moves. Really solid new film from Sam Raimi that you can check out on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures trying to reach the double digits. But the winds keep making it feel much colder. As we become cloudy tonight, expect snow by late tomorrow morning. Laying down a couple of inches throughout the day, another inch or so is possible into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 6 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers is on a vacation, so it'll be Tuesday Tangents with you and Aaron Zommers. And headlines of the day, be with us then. And what's worse, we'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you live from her studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One of the pluses or minuses, depending upon how you look at it, is if you watch on the live stream, you never know when dancing might break out, as just happened with our next guest, the one and only, our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, from the fantastic Todd Alba Show, noon to 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, everyone. I feel like the Jack LaLanne of radio this morning. Remember him?
You were doing jumping. He's got the jumping jacks going. He's got the energy flowing.
Jack LaLanne, that was French for the lane. I know that.
Right. Mm. If only he had the metabolism.
Oh, my God.
Lots of things to cover.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I saw this headline this morning and I went, well, what? CBS 58 headline reads, with the byline by Emily Fannin, GOP lawmakers propose limits on school referendum to reduce burden on taxpayers. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice, Todd?
Right.
The Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin want to help out the taxpayers instead of admitting that they've been slowly starving our public school system for at least the last decade and leaving essentially school districts with no other options but to go to referendum in order to get the money they need to keep running. Now the Republicans are going to step in so they can't do that anymore.
Here's the question. If I were a constituent, if I were a taxpayer across the state of Wisconsin, the next time you see your GOP senator or state assembly person, assuming that they still do public town halls. Now, a lot of these guys and gals, they do listening sessions now. Listening sessions.
Don't you have to be invited? Don't you have to be invited to those?
Some you do, some you don't. Some are still having some public ones. But they start by saying, I'm not here to answer questions. I'm just going to listen. Really, I'm serious. Howard Markline over in Southwest Wisconsin and Tony Kurtz do this all the time.
I used to do that in school all the time.
Right?
I'm not here to answer questions.
Right.
I'm just here to listen.
Up front.
Okay.
Yeah. But next time you see one of these elected officials from the state legislature, Republicans, I would ask them this. Wasn't it the Republican Party, especially under Tommy Thompson and others and Ronald Reagan, they like to say government is best closer to the people? And we don't want people in Madison and Washington, D.C. making choices. So are you telling me, senator or assemblyperson, that you don't trust your constituents? That you think the folks in Madison should be dictating to the local people back home? Because here's the thing that I know, and you know, Jane, you and I traveled around the state for a week together last year, and I went with Trivia Olson several times. People really like their public schools.
Yes.
And so when you say, well, we want to put X millions of dollars into public schools around the state, some people get a little salty. But if you say, well, a lot of that's going to go to your public school. Oh, that's great. Or if you say, if we don't do something about school funding, that means your football team or your forensics team or your teachers or buildings will be impacted. Well, I don't want that.
Right.
So I would just ask those legislators that want this. Do you really think that you folks, have Republicans changed their mantra? Do they no longer believe in local control?
Well, and I always thought it was, again, it's about send it back to the states. And like you said, local control, local communities, all of that. Mm-hmm. But that's where they veered away from that when it came to parents being responsible for making medical decisions for their own children. Now we have the federal government who's legislating that.
Well, and it really started, I think, before that, Jane. My last stint in the legislature, while I still was a Republican, left the party in 2011. But I finished out my term with my former boss, Dale Schultz, who left in 2014. And it was really under the Walker administration that we saw this new mantra of Republicanism, which isn't conservative at all, actually, where they did not trust their local town boards in terms of mining and fracking. And went in, because a lot of these town boards are like, look, we don't want fracking in our township. because it's going to be noisy. It could contaminate the groundwater.
Yep.
Multitude of reasons. And the Walker folks said, oh, no. Oh, by the way, we're also taking under-the-table payment from China. But that's another story. We don't trust you folks in western Wisconsin, in Trempealeau County, in Barron County, in Vernon County. We're going to pass legislation to usurp local control on mining and fracking. And I've, Jane and Greg, I've never seen, as a lifelong Republican until 2011, I never saw an overreach by government as big in Wisconsin is under the Walker administration.
I just, we have a clip that I'm going to try to find for us of Robin Voss on Upfront saying that if municipalities want to raise their own taxes to get more educational funding, that's fine by him. It's not his job. So What changed, Robin? Is it the fact that they are actually raising their own taxes? Non-parents like myself are voting yes to raising our taxes, to getting better education. So now all of a sudden, because we're doing that and you don't like it in your representative democracy, now we have to help.
Well, no. I think it's more of about, yeah, this isn't going well. We need to tell them that we're doing something for them.
Yeah.
We got to spin this somehow so we look like the good guys, and we're doing it for you. We're so worried about you, the taxpayer, and having to, you know, deal with these referendum. So we're going to step in.
Janus, you often do so often, you nailed it, because it turns out that the boys up the street here in Madison, the Republican boys, they're trying to, apparently they're trying to outdo each other's member. And I say that because now Robin Voss in the story of the Wisconsin Examiner, now they're going to introduce the newly created Assembly Government Operations Accountability and Transparency Committee, the GOAT, which will be chaired by Representative Amanda Nuduski, will lead the improve efficiency. The committee was inspired by the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, or as I call it, Doggy, which is not an official federal agency headed by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. So here's the deal, you guys. Voss is getting, a little jealous that, he's not getting enough credit. So now, you nailed it, Jane, they're trying to up each other. And again, Republicans, when I was Republican, said less agencies, fewer committees are better. And here, Robin Voss creating another bureaucracy of a made-up agency. This stuff should be done by current standing committees, not something made up for publication.
Absolutely. You're absolutely. We don't need this. We don't need this agency.
To use the Matt Near on Air phrase, it shouldn't be a thing.
It should not be a thing. Oh. Absolutely.
I just want to imagine now, like, this coming in from Missouri, they have their own version of DOGE, cut all taxes, cat, and just a series of animals for all of their stupid behavior.
This article, again, in CBS 58 now, Republican lawmakers proposing limits on ballot measures which ask voters to raise property taxes to fund school districts. A new proposal co-authored by Representative Cindy Ducow of Delafield and Senator Chris Kapenga of Delafield would require any school funding increases through referendum be limited to 4 years. Ducow says she believes capping referendums would improve fiscal responsibility, reduce the burden on taxpayers. Last spring, voters approved a $252 million referendum for MPS that taxpayers will pay over four-year increments. Ducow thinks that's just not fair. In February, Kenosha asked voters to approve a $115 million referendum to help close their estimated $19 million budget shortfall. If approved, they'll be able to increase limit by $23 million a year. This comes as voters approved a record number of referenda to fund local schools in 2024. Why did they do that? Because the Republican-controlled legislature has slowly been starving our public schools of money for over a decade. That's why we've been doing this.
Which is why when Robin Voss went on that same episode of Upfront, he was patting himself on the back saying, we've given Wisconsin public education the largest increase in a generation. Well, if you're not giving them any money, $50 is the largest increase in a generation. So don't give yourself that much credit, Robin. And now you're going to stifle the voice of the people in those municipalities who are, I mean, honest, to say I want to raise my own taxes for the children, for the education, that's a big deal. That's something you have to really think about with your heart, especially someone like you. You and I have talked about this. No children, but we vote yes because we want great public schools.
I don't want stupid people from graduating because those people are going to have to look out for us as we get older.
Yeah, right.
And I also think that this plays into the whole thing about the effort by one side to kill public education. They absolutely want to kill public schools. So all kids have to be funneled into religious programs. Mm-hmm. And it's my belief, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe the goal is to get them into Christian nationalist schools to help further that agenda and develop an army for God.
I certainly think there are people in the legislatures, it's like there are people in Congress who do believe that. Do I think it's the majority of Republican caucus? I don't know. I haven't been part of the Republican caucus in quite a while. But do I think there are people within that caucus who truly do believe what you just said, Jane? Sure, I do. I think it comes down to a larger question, again, of do our elected officials trust the people who elected them? And this bill tells me they don't. They don't. I mean, look at the record number right now of MAGA people running for local school boards. And you know what? I'll give them that they're organizing locally to get on these school boards. And I hope that people who oppose those views also run for school boards. So really the question for Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux is, don't you trust the people from your own party who are running for school boards? And what you said, Jane, is if you took some of that $4 billion plus surplus,
yep,
and put that into public education, not the whole enchilada like Jill Underlee's. I mean, that was just ridiculous.
There was a way. It was a massive overreach. Yeah. It was a massive overreach.
And it really did a disservice to public education because instead of having a reasonable proposal where you could actually compromise and talk about, that's just the extreme on the other side, which only gives fire to stupid proposals like this from Voss. Yeah. So Underlee absolutely undercut, pun intended, public education, and I think she's got some real election problems, but that's another bottle of wine, especially at 10:46 in the morning. But by the way, there's nothing wrong with wine at 10:46 in the morning.
No,
you can't day drink if you don't start drinking early. But anyway,
you can't day drink at night.
But I think this just comes down to a question of local control. And as you said, Jane, Republicans not trusting local voters to fund their local schools properly. And then as you've talked about, as I've talked about, so often our local public schools are our community.
Yes.
I want to address a comment on the live stream saying, how do we impeach Voss? Now, I don't think that's the avenue. If you don't want him to be your representative, then you find a good candidate to run against him in a primary. Go about the long way. Don't do, because they tried doing it twice, almost three
He's
times.
He's a political cat. He has 9 political lives. Yeah. They've tried to take him out in primaries.
He keeps
coming back.
Yeah, don't worry about impeaching Voss. Worry about like finding the right representative for yourself. Because as you and Todd and Jane are saying, if they don't trust us and we can't trust them, then it's about finding the right people. And the impeachment process is just and the recall process, it's
not the way to go.
It's smoke and mirrors.
It's not the way to go.
Yeah.
And I think we have had more evidence than we could possibly need that Robin Voss does not trust his own constituents. The vast majority of Wisconsinites believe in red flag laws. Some basic gun safety proposals. The vast majority of Wisconsinites believe in safe and safe abortions and safe access to reproductive health care for women. They've discounted all that stuff. They don't trust their constituents. They don't have any faith in their constituents. Robin knows best. That's the important thing to remember.
How are we going back to the 1950s? Father knows best.
Well, and just out of curiosity, if anybody ever runs into Robin Voss, hold up a mirror in front of his face. I want to see if he has a reflection. I'm just curious. We're going to continue our conversation with Todd Alba. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the board lord on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform, shedding more users than a parrot that's molting. Joining us... I got a couple in rotation.
I love it.
I'm working on them. I like that. Todd Alba is here, our guest from the wonderful Todd Alba Show, right after us from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And right before the break, we were talking about Republicans. Oh, they want to help voters, you guys. They just don't like all these statewide referendums. So now they want to put limits on school referendum. Does that mean that they're going to shell out more money to help support public schools in Wisconsin? Well, no. Don't expect that. Let's not lose our minds. The approval rate for school referendums, again, this from CBS 58, seeing a downward trend. The use of referendums to fund school districts, long controversial for years. Districts have asked lawmakers for per pupil increases. Republican lawmakers reluctant because this could result in higher property taxes. Mm-hmm. They're going to decide for you, you guys. They just want to, they know, Robin knows best. Mm-hmm. Yes. Robin knows best.
He loves a representative democracy where he is the only representative of that democracy.
It's so much smoother that way when there's only one person involved.
Makes working 2 months out of the year easier.
Another thing that they want to do, and this from WPR, headline reads, new bill will require local governments to approve solar and wind projects in Wisconsin. Yeah. This has not been a thing in the past. A new bill would require solar or wind projects producing 15 megawatts or more to get approval from every city, village, and town in which the project is located. However, renewable projects smaller than 100 megawatts don't need local approval, and some small power plants may need a certificate of authority. In 2009, Wisconsin passed a law stopping municipalities from placing restrictions on wind projects that are more restrictive than PSC rules, with a few exceptions. The author, one of the bill's authors, State Representative Travis Trunell, a Republican, said local governments do not have a voice in the growing number of renewable energy projects being proposed across the state. He says as long as all the boxes get checked, PSC approves the project, we feel locals should have more input and more say in these projects. I don't necessarily disagree with that. However, it does seem to be this is specific to solar and wind projects.
Yeah. That's interesting. I heard a little bit about that on the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
But who's wonderful.
Who's fantastic. Yep. Fabulous farm babe, as she calls herself. Here's the deal about Travis Trunell. I know this guy really well. In fact, I never got paid, but I volunteered in some of his races. He's out of Platteville, Wisconsin, in Grant County. He used to be one of my former boss, Dale Schultz, when he was state senator. Travis was one of Dale's assembly people in the 17th Senate District. He's been there now a long time. Here's the deal about Travis. He's a legit dairy farmer, long time, graduated to be a Platteville, hometown guy, and was one of the, I think, five assembly Republicans that joined Dale in the Senate to vote against Act 10 against Scott Walker.
Wow.
Okay.
And used to be really pro solar and wind, because in his district in Montfort, there is a huge wind farm, one of the biggest in the state, in Grant County, right around Montfort there. And Dale and Travis used to co-author alternative energy things all the time. Since that time, when he voted against Act 10, he has slowly gone over to the right, because MAGA and Walker and Voss and Trump have made it clear that if you're not on the team, you're off the team.
Yep.
So Travis already was in hot water for doing the right thing and voting against Act 10. And it's like so many of these legislators on both sides who go for truly the right reasons. We can say we might disagree with their policy,
right,
but in their own way, they're going to help, quote unquote, help their constituents. They feel that's the right way to do it. They're not bad people per se, but often, and the thing is, these jobs don't pay huge amounts of money. It's like 58 grand, but you get the health insurance, the per diem. And so many of these people are too afraid not to be state representative or not to be state senator, and they don't feel they can go out and make it in the real world, or they need the health insurance, and so they capitulate, and they know they're doing the wrong thing, but they're too afraid not to be state representative. I don't know that that's the case with Travis. He's a successful dairy farmer, has been for a long time, but it deeply saddens me about Travis Trunell, because this is antithetical to what he spent the majority of his time in the legislature doing. And again, he came up through local government. Again, you have to ask Representative Trunell, Travis, do you no longer trust your local town board? Where my farm was in Bloom Township of Richland County, we didn't have much oversight.
Right.
You could build a building and pretty much do what you want. But that was the way that the people there wanted. Are you saying, Travis, and Republicans, that you no longer trust your local town boards to make decisions, and you're putting more paperwork and bureaucracy and cost onto locals? Because that's what this bill does.
I think you're onto something there. I think you're onto something.
Wonderfully put, Todd.
In a very short amount of time we have left, where do these all our lawmakers hang out, since they don't want to go meet constituents? Is there a bar where we can go and meet them?
That's a great question. There used to be. It used to be the Avenue down on East Washington Avenue was a big one, and then the park. But that has stopped happening. Both sides, Republicans and Democrats, leadership has said, we don't want to see you with anybody else outside of the building, yep, or you'll be penalized. That's a real thing.
Yep.
Listen to
and
Todd.
It should be a thing.
It should not be a thing. Listen to Todd all the noon to 2 p.m. across the network. Thank you, Todd. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as judgments continue to mount up against the Trump administration. Also, why is the DOJ dropping criminal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Suggesting that interest rate cuts are not imminent, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told the Senate Banking Committee it's also unwise to speculate on tariff policy. He's speaking a day after President Trump announced 25% tariffs on all imports of steel and aluminum. ABC's Karen Travers has more on the potential impacts.
It could have a significant impact on everyday items, things like cars and appliances, anything that comes in aluminum, like canned goods. But the White House says this is about boosting the domestic steel industry, that it's very important in this country for economic purposes and national security purposes to have a strong and robust steel industry.
Today, the president meets with the king of Jordan a day after threatening to cut off aid if Middle Eastern countries don't support his plan for Gaza. The Trump administration also continuing efforts to trim the size of the federal government. On social media, the president repeated his call for FEMA to be shut down, saying states should handle disasters. This is ABC News.